Well, now it's what we've been waiting for. The moment we've been waiting for all this hour. People want to know what a Thunder Chicken is. And we're going to find out in this segment of the program. I'd like to welcome back to our studios here, Christina Lee. There we go. We press the button and you're on.
Good afternoon.
How you doing, Christina?
Great.
The last time you were here was when, back in December, you were here as one of the winners at the Michigan Council of Women in Technology that had done a contest about websites, right?
Yep, that's true.
And so, you took first place?
Yeah.
And what was the name of your website?
It was repurposing, and it was around that theme.
Okay, repurposing. Well, I went back and I looked that up, and I believe I have a link to that here on our internetadvisor.net homepage. So that was great that you did that. And now I hear, you got back in touch with me, that you're involved in a code day at Wayne. This is at Wayne State University. Is that where it's happening on the campus there?
Yeah.
Okay, talk about code day, what that is.
So code day is a 24-hour programming marathon where high school students and college students create anything they want with technology. So it can be an app, it can be a game, it can be a website, whatever they want.
And tell us about the atmosphere there, because it's kind of a unique atmosphere at the Code Day, isn't it?
Yeah, so there's around 27 cities right now in the U.S. simultaneously also having Code Days, and we're just the one in Detroit. And there's 60 students there, and everyone's just really helping out each other, creating anything they want.
So
I'm looking at the website, and they all look pretty green to me. They have green shirts on?
I think that's Thunder Chicken.
Oh, that's Thunder Chicken.
Oh, no. That's it. Shh. Don't do that yet. Don't do that yet. We're going to get to the Thunder Chicken.
Sorry.
Don't jump the gun on that
ahead.
Quite.
You're on the wrong website.
How did they apply for or get into this code day?
This is a competition for beginners and advanced. So all they had to do is just buy a ticket. So this encourages beginners to actually go to the event instead of just signing up.
Okay, good. So when they get there, I could see Ed many years ago. He would have been in that. And so would Cal. I could just see you guys being in this code day.
Well, wait a minute. Let me ask this question. When you say a beginner for code day, if I buy a ticket and walk in, do I have to know anything about coding, or I could be like completely novice?
You can be a complete beginner because we have workshops there that tell you like the basics of programming and help people build whatever they want.
Now, you know, that's a good idea, you know, so that you don't have to have a threshold, that it's meant for all levels.
Yeah.
You know, not only something to walk in and you see something, but also you can learn and participate in right away.
Now, Christina, do the pros, the ones who have been there doing it a while, do they, like, allow these rookies in to their teams?
Well, a lot of the times the pros are often the ones helping out the rookie teams.
Ah. So that's neat. So they kind of get together and they mentor them. Yeah. This experience as well. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that are likely to come out of this code day?
Well, I know one team is building a web app that plays poker over. I think they're betting some online currency on it, and then it's a mix between a web app and then you can play it on your phones too.
Okay, so they created an application that can be used anywhere, at least, and to do something like playing a game.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been involved in the code days yourself?
Well, I'm an organizer today, but I haven't been involved in the ones in the past. However, I've gone to several programming marathons. They're called hackathons.
This is 24 hours, right?
Yeah.
That's fueled by what? Mountain Dew and pizza?
Basically, yeah.
I should introduce to the other fellow who's here with you. Aaron is sitting in studio here. Aaron Wilcock is a junior at Wayne State University. And you've been working with the robotics team. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But have you ever participated in the code day as well? Do you know the kind of atmosphere that's there?
I have not participated in any code days before. I'm an organizer for this one, as Tina is. I've attended some hackathons.
Okay. What's a hackathon like?
I mean, a hackathon is a culmination of anyone who wants to be involved in coding, either those who have already been, right, like Tina was saying about experts, and those who would just like to join and see what it's like. And yes, it's mainly fueled by Mountain Dew, caffeinated beverages, lots of food that you would not want to consume on a daily basis. Pretty much whatever it takes to get you through those 24 or 36 hours.
There's food there, so you can get that. I'm looking now at the right website and the frequently asked questions. It says, where will I sleep? If they're sleeping, they're not coding, right? So they're not probably winning. So they is that what happens? I mean, they said that you could, the answer is you can sleep anywhere. Bring a sleeping bag.
This is definitely true. And from time to time, teams will fail at, quote unquote, fail at the project because they will stay asleep too long, won't set the alarms, or just don't want to get up.
So this is time. It's bound by time as well. You have a certain period of time that you have to do all this in.
Generally, by the end, they expect that once a project is completed or near the end, you register and say, we've gotten far enough that we'd like to present. And you do so at the end.
And then as what, the organizers, are you judges as well then, or do you have other people coming in and judging?
I am not a judge. I don't believe Tina is either. Most of the time, they'll pull in judges. So, for example, we'll bring in professors. I think there's an IT director who's judging at this one. And it varies from hackathon to hackathon.
Now, when is this code day going on in Detroit?
Right now.
Right now? Over
noon
this, at this
today day? To oh. noon tomorrow.
Oh, my goodness. It's happening right now. Hey, you know, for a lot of
us... wait a minute. I mean, this is over St. Valentine's Day, right? And... does that mean that you expect people that aren't going on dates tonight to sign up? Is that, or do you just bring your date and have them?
Nothing says I love you like a Fortran compiler.
Saying ain't so.
You know, when people hear the word hacker or hackathon, they think of something nefarious, something evil or underhanded. But so what is a hacker to you, Aaron?
To me, it's anyone who is willing to put forth the effort to learn the new technologies and the workarounds. I mean, obviously, in conversation, most people use it to mean something a little worse than what we're trying to show here.
Yeah, but it's kind of a neutral term in the sense of, is this somebody who has the skills?
There's white hat and black hat hackers.
That's
right?
True, white hat and black hat. Now, Christina, how about for you? What is a hacker?
I guess for me, a hacker is anyone who, like Aaron said, like wants to put in the effort to create something. It doesn't even need to be programming. It can just be like anything they want.
And at the end of the day, tomorrow at noon. Tomorrow noon, when everything they blow a whistle on this, people will then present what they've done that up to that point.
Yeah, so they would give we call them pitches, they would just say like a brief introduction about what they've done, what they like, maybe what they learned, like what their final product is, whatever.
Tina, by the way, we should just say, Christina, you are a, what year are you in high school now?
I'm a junior in high school.
You're a junior in high school, but you were in a very special kind of a setup. You should tell people about that. You're in half of your day, or half of the time, you're at?
Half of the time in the afternoon, I'm at the Utica Center for Math, Science, and Technology. And it's a magnet school, and that's where we take our STEM class, our science, technology, engineering, and math classes.
Cool.
And then for the morning, I go to Stevenson High School.
Okay.
And I would just take my liberal art classes there.
Right, right. Isn't that a neat atmosphere?
Yeah. Oh, it is. And it doesn't take much for kids in the high school or middle school to start participating in something like that. My son was also involved in STEM up in Brandon, and by the time he graduated, I think he had completed 5 college courses. So he's graduating a year, if not 6 months early.
So
for
is that
reason.
Is that
and he
it?
Doesn't have to pay college courses. The schools are required to pay for it.
I see. Wow. Is that the same kind of thing that you're looking at too, Tina?
Yeah, I'm taking 3 AP classes this year just through the Math, Science, Technology program. And then next year I'll be taking 3 more. So.
Wow.
So my big question to Tina is, where do you earn your high school letter from? Which one of the two schools?
I would earn my diploma from Stevenson.
Okay.
And which one do you care mostly about?
I don't know. I love the atmosphere at the Math Science Technology Center because like everyone there had to test in, so they're all really focused on trying to succeed. So they'd help each other out when they can.
Mm, nice.
Now, you're a coder then? You know how to code, right?
Yeah, I'm a programmer.
A programmer, okay. Because you built the programming behind your site, which we can also have linked off to as well.
Okay, so let's have some fun then. What's the difference in a programmer and a hacker?
Well, I mean, they can be the same thing. Like a programmer. A programmer can be like just coding on the computer, but a hacker can be a programmer. It can be an engineer. It can be anyone that creates anything.
Aaron, you're going to say something. Go ahead.
Yes.
One of them you use on your resume, and the other you do not.
Oh, I like that one.
But see, it was
a
my
better definition.
Straightforward and to the point. My thinking was a programmer is someone who creates something. A hacker is someone who de-engineer something. Would that be safe?
Well, there's white hackers, and like Gary said, there's white hat and black hat.
Aaron? So you know what I'd like? I like this video on the site. Boy, does that show some energy.
And where's that site at, Gary?
That's we link to it. It's codeday.org/Detroit.
And so if you go to internetadvisor.net and you go down to see Christina's smiling face there, you can just click on that Code Day Detroit, and it'll take you to that website. We're going to take a quick break right now, and then we're going to talk about Thunder Chickens when we come back.
That's where the green comes
You're listening to the Internet
maybe
Advisor.
The yellow.
Our guests are Christina Lee and Aaron Wilcock, and we'll be back in with that in just a moment as we find out, finally, what a Thunder Chicken is. All right, it's time to reveal what a Thunder Chicken is. We're talking with Christina Lee, who is a junior and involved in just kind of getting all into her coding with her website that she's developed. And all along with her is Aaron Wilcock, who is a student at Wayne State University. And where Aaron, you have been a mentor for Christina and the other folks on the Thunder Chicken team, right?
Yep. I joined in 2011 as a student on the team.
Oh.
And then after graduating and starting college, I've gone back to mentor the programming department.
So was Stevenson your home school when you were in high school?
Nope. I did take part in the same Utica Center for Math Science Technology program.
Oh, because it's a magnet school. I gotcha.
Correct.
Okay.
And the other half of my day was spent at Utica High School, which is another UCS high school.
Right. I gotcha. And Christina, now let's talk about Thunder Chickens. What is a Thunder Chicken?
So Thunder Chickens is our first robotics team, and it draws a bunch of students from the Utica Community Schools District, and a lot of them come from the same MST program I'm involved in, but there's also students from other schools in the district.
And we say first robotics is a program, and we've had Steve Heyer in here with his group.
Right.
I forget what the name of the group is.
Rush was
the name of that group.
And they won the world competition last year, right?
They won the World Chairman's Award, yep.
Yeah, exactly. So FIRST is a national, is it international as well?
It's international.
International.
That's why they won the world. See, that's
it's a contest. Thank you very much. All right.
So you guys participate with RoboFest every year as well?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Must be a different thing.
There's a number of different kind organizations.
Of robotic
robotic competitions. Mm-hmm. And FIRST, I forget what the acronym stands for.
For Innovation and Recognition of Science and Technology.
Whoa,
wow,
very
really
good.
Ding, 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 ding.
Just a junior in high school, too. You know,
so how did this name Thunder Chicken come up from robotics?
So, ironically, the Thunder Chickens were previously Team Macomb, and they had moved into the Ford transmission plant on their upper level that's at 18 in Van Dyke, I believe. And the name that we got was adopted from a very sarcastic variant name given to the Thunderbird after there were some modifications to the car that the engineers maybe weren't so happy about, decided to call it a Thunder Chicken, and since the team has been given the same name.
Yeah, so there's no prosaic names about this. The Macomb Robot Team. It's the Thunder Chickens. That's really cool. 217, I think it is. Mm-hmm. That's the other part about it. It's a Team 217 is the Thunder Chickens.
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Yeah.
Now, you guys are preparing for a contest coming up?
We're preparing for several competitions that we're going to go to. I think we're going to one in Waterford, Bedford, Livonia, and then if we make it, we go to States.
Okay, what is your robot built to do?
So our robot every year changes based on the game that FIRST designs. This year it's called Recycle Rush, and basically it's stacking a bunch of totes and like recycling bins together to make different stacks, and for however high your stack is, then you get a certain amount of points.
You get the highest stack with your robot. So you got to build this thing so it can reach higher as well. What are some of the particular challenges, Aaron, that they face in putting this thing together?
So in terms of programming alone, a lot of it is sensor fusions, just being able to take all of the different sensory inputs, proximity, using like limit switches and such, determine where the robot is located on the field, to also have it partake in autonomous features. So putting all that together in a program that's easy enough for them to understand and run.
So this can be a self-driving robot?
Yes. So there are, I believe this year it's 15 seconds. at the beginning of every match or competition, there's 15 seconds where the robots are supposed to operate autonomously, so you can't use controllers or any human input.
That's got to be kind of a scary moment when you're letting these things go. Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine what they're teaching these young people, though, about not only robotics, but now autonomous vehicles? You should be moving right back into that plant when you graduate and help them build the autonomous vehicles.
No more Thunder Chickens.
So I want to know, what's it like to work on in those robotic competitions in the chicken suit?
Working in the chicken suit obviously is a little bit warm, as you might imagine.
Do you have to wear it as the mentor?
No. Not every mentor on the team to wear the suit.
It's very cool. They should look at the website.
We will post that, yes. If you go to the post, you can see some poor soul in the Thunder Chicken suit with the team behind him.
That's
one of the pictures on the site as well as... So so you're working on what's your team made up of? How many guys and girls?
So there's around 50 different members on the team. I think there's exactly 48, and they're anywhere from high school sophomores to high school seniors. Wow. And there's mostly guys. There's I think like 20-ish girls. And then we're divided into different sections. We're divided into PR and then the robot building aspect. And then the robot building aspect is divided further to mechanical, electrical, and then programming.
What part are you in?
I'm in programming.
You're in programming. Okay. Okay, good.
Just looks like a ton of fun. I'm looking at the photographs and it really looks like you're having fun.
But it looks like, you know, kind of organized chaos in some ways. How do you decide who's going to be in what group? Are you involved in that, Aaron?
So I think Aaron creates the organization and Tina is really the chaos. Yeah.
So
she's quiet but deadly.
Although I can't speak for all first teams, at least on ours, when we bring the students in as 10th graders, sophomores, they have the option of, you know, sort of dabbling in all of the departments.
Ah, good.
And then from there deciding, you know, which of these do I want to explore most. And past that, if they decide later on that I'd like to try something else, I've gone as far as I'd like to here, then they move to a different department and continue there. And there are plenty of students who also cross between the departments. So Tina, for example, is working on a children's book that the team is developing.
Oh, that's cool.
So that would be, I mean, PR for us.
Yeah,
it doesn't
yeah.
really require mechanical or programming skills for that. So in that sense, she's crossing the department, what we would call department line.
So Tina, what is the main thing that Aaron brings to your team from your perspective?
Other than the organization.
Well, he's our programming mentor, and last year when I was a sophomore, there were 10 new sophomores, and we were all beginners. We had no idea what to do.
Okay.
And then Aaron came in and like organized us to tell us exactly, because the programming that we do isn't just normal C++. It's a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
So he just comes in and like teaches us everything that we need to learn to program this monster in 6 weeks.
And what's that like for you, Aaron?
It can be frustrating from time to time.
But it makes you take what you're learning now. You're a junior in Wayne State, right, in computer science.
Yes.
You have to know so much more to teach something than you do just to try to learn it to use it yourself, right? I mean, doesn't that help you learn?
I was going to say, you learn by... how does it go? You learn by teaching, I would imagine, in that situation.
Yes, in many ways, especially because given that they don't necessarily have as much experience as I have, aren't going to be stuck in old ways, they more often than not will be more open to ideas that I might not be. And in those cases, I learn often more than they do. So while I run them through the routines of here's something you can try,
that's really neat.
I get to experience all the ideas that they have as well.
How many mentors are there that working with the team?
I think 10.
Plus
maybe
or minus.
Less, yeah,
okay.
Around 10.
All from Wayne State or from other places?
Oh, no, they're from all over. We have a couple retired Ford engineers.
That's cool.
We have one from 4i Automation.
Automation Ellie. She's our PR. Kelly, she's our PR mentor.
Wow. Sounds, what a great thing to be involved in. Folks, if you're hearing them talk about this right now, and I know, Ed, didn't your son go through with the robotics team already? He worked with the robotics team?
Nope, not at all. Just the STEM program.
Just the STEM program. Okay. But STEM programs are great to get involved in, and robotics seems like a wonderful way of applying those things that you learn. Christina Lee, good luck to you and the rest of the team of the Thunder Chickens as you go on. Aaron Wilcock, thank you very much for all that you're doing for them, and the best to the Thunder Chickens out there.